perhaps the greatest treasure on this earth and one of the only things that will survive this life is human relationships, old friends. We are indeed rich if we have friends. Friends who have loved us through the problems, heartaches, and reversals of life. Deep, true, joyful friendships. Life is just too short and eternity too long to live without old friends.
Each week, here on Something to Believe In, Reverend Tommy Bounce presents to you a program of encouragement and blessing with uplifting music and a life-changing message from the Word of God. And now, here's Something to Believe In with Reverend Tommy Bounce.
Is to magnify and lift up His holy name. So let's get right into our broadcast today. I appreciate you listening to me this morning. I'm a little hoarse, as you can understand, but anyhow, we're going to try to do our best. So if we do our best, then God will appreciate that. So let's try to get into our broadcast and do this beautiful song for you.
I've sinned for so long, I scarcely had meaning for me. A prisoner to Satan and blinded by sin, believing I could never be free. But in my desperation, I called on the Lord. At an altar of prayer I prayed through. The chains fell away like the darkness of dawn, and He told me just what I must do. I'll just lay down and leave it. I'll lay down and leave it. I'll carry burden no more. The same hand that lifted these burden of sin will lead me on through heaven's door. Now down in this valley of cares in this life and troubles so often with pain, and all of the money I've made in this life could never my good health regain. But it doesn't matter to me anymore, for soon now this old house shall fall. My glorified body will raise from the grave at the sound of my dear Savior's voice. I'll just lay down and leave it. I'll lay down and leave it. I'll carry this burden no more. The same hand that lifted these burdens of sin will lead me on through heaven's door. I'll just lay down and leave it. I'll lay down and leave it. At a graveside I'll need it no more.
Well, that was Martha doing this song for me, and I appreciate her. It seems like she sounds sweeter every time that we do her. Well, we want to do a broadcast today in memory of James Ellison, who passed away last week. You've heard me mention James and Louise many times, and they're great friends of ours, great supporters of the broadcast. And Doris Nitti is also a great supporter, and I hope she's doing real good. Haven't heard from her for a while, but hope that she's doing real well. But I do want you to pray for Louise, pray for the family, and we've got a lot of loved ones in the radio audience, and we want you to remember me in prayer and lift me up. And I'm having computer problems again, but anyhow, if God be for us, there's no power that can stand against us. So let's just trust God, and God will take care of his own. So let's do this song for you, and in memory of my good friend James Ellison, who passed away this last week. I'm hoping the family understands my grief for them. In Jesus' name, I pray for them all.
Many times in my childhood, when I've traveled so far, by nightfall, oh how weary I had grown. Father's arms would slip around me, and he gently would say, my child, we are going home. Go. The twilight is fading, and the day soon shall end. Lord, I get homesick the farther I roam. Oh, but the Father, he has led me each step of the way, and now I am going home. Go.
Teaches it's a joyful thing to fall into the hands of Almighty God. And to die is gain. Paul said, for me to die was gain. So we do, we gain something. We gain a place where there'll be no more heartaches, no more tears, no more sadness in that city. We might face our heartaches down here, but thank God over there, there'll never be another heartache. Well, I remember my good friend Darrell Olson. I appreciate him. He sent me some cards and on the stbi.org. I appreciate that, Darrell, and I appreciate hearing from you today. I always appreciate hearing from him and Dana Olson. They are my web servers, and with their help, we're reaching people clear around the world. Isn't that important? Yes, it is very important that we do that. So you pray for me and pray for them. Keep hold them up in prayer also. Well, let's do this song for Darrell Olson and Dana Olson, all my web servers today, they're listening.
Sinking sand.
I could not go much farther without a helping hand. Well, standing there all alone, a voice to me did say, if you're looking for Mount Calvary, I can show you the way. Working my way back to Calvary, it's been so long since I've been there. Working my way back to Calvary, this narrow path will take me there. Just ahead, an old familiar pathway I can see, from the light that's in the distance, that old cross I plainly can see. Through tear-stained eyes I struggle on, as a voice to me did say, if you're looking for Mount Calvary, let me show you the way. Working my way back to Calvary, it's been so long since I've been there. Working my way back to Calvary, this narrow path will take me there. Yes, this narrow path will take me there.
I remember I was in church here in Hinton one time, and I asked the people to come around the altar and pray, and we were in revival, and I said, we'll close with the altar call. So anyhow, after several people came to the altar, and we had our season of prayer, and then we closed. But the gentleman met me at the back door, and he said, I'll tell you, preacher, I prayed one time, and that's enough. Well, I said, I just ain't satisfied with that. I think you need to talk to God every day. God loves to hear from you every day, and I love to talk to God every day. He talks with me, and He walks with me all and every day of the week. So let's go right now to the Word of God.
It's important to know that we're all sinners, saved only by grace. It's good to know the facts, because the facts is the only thing that's going to make us free. Now, over in Luke's Gospel, if you have your Bibles, in Luke chapter 18, you'll find a story. And in this story, you're going to find two men. One is a Pharisee, the other one is a publican. And I want you to notice something about this story. First of all, Jesus tells it as a parable. And the reason that He's telling it as a parable, He's ran into an issue of religion was versing Christianity. A great difference. You see, religion can be anything. But Christianity is a thing that reaches into the moral issues of man. It reaches into the heart. It reaches into the mind. And in this story, it was made very clear in the 9th verse that Jesus is going to use a parable. Now, a parable is an allegory. You know what an allegory is? An allegory is a short story formulated to bring about a fact. And Jesus is going to use a parable, an allegory, or a short story to tell us about two men. And in this story, if you'll notice about the story, there's things that I always look for. Maybe you've never thought about it. But in this story, Jesus takes verse 9 and begins to relate to what the parable is going to be about. And then it takes 3 verses to explain the life or the action of the Pharisee. But it's only going to take 1 verse to explain the actions of the publican. Now, I want you to notice here in Luke's Gospel, chapter 18, verse 9. And He spake this parable unto the certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. And then he goes on in verse 10 and says, two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee, the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice a day. I give tithes of all that I possess. Those three verses of Scripture was the identification of the Pharisee. But then notice the next verse. The Bible said, and the publican, standing off, would not lift up as much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbled himself shall be exalted. I want you to notice the difference between the two people. The one man went to pray. He went to pray to God. But he did not pray to God. He simply went to address God to who he was. He said, I pray twice today. I fast twice today. I give of all that I have. But the publican, standing far away, he says to God, God, be merciful to me because I am a sinner. You see, it's a fact that he was a sinner. And I'd like to point out to you, if you haven't already found it out, the point is this, all we like sheep have gone astray. Every man hath turned to his own way. And the Bible said the Lord hath laid upon him the iniquity of us all. We're all sinners that are saved by grace. We were lost without God. The Bible said God does not make mistakes. In the beginning of time, God created the heavens and the earth. Something happened. The Bible said that sin came into the garden. Adam and Eve disobeyed God. They partake of the thing that God told them not to. And when they partake of what God told them not to, their eyes were open and they knew sin. They were naked before God. It's a symbolizing showing of man's condition. Man now is lost without God. Now some people would say, well now God made a mistake. Remember, God don't make mistakes. You see, God had a purpose in all that He does. Have you ever went out and ran a robot car? Have you ever went out on the parking lot and saw those little robot cars where you push the button and you turn the steering wheel, and what they do, they go when you push the button and they turn when you turn the steering wheel. Is that right? Is that what God intended for you to be? No. God did not intend for you to be a robot, so therefore He don't push your button and He don't turn your steering wheel. Because God made you a free moral agent. And God made you that way so that you could realize you're lost. You're lost without God. You need to know that fact. You see, if God had made you a robot, you would have never known you was lost. You would have never been able to have the common sense and the ability to even know that you were annihilated from God. You would have never known when sin came in and you became naked in the face of God. But God did not make you a robot. God made you a human being. God put a personality in you. He put a choice in you. He gave you the ability to think and to act. He gave you the ability to know. He gave you knowledge. He gave you wisdom. He gave you understanding for one reason. So that you would know the fact that you're lost without God. Man would never know. Man would have never known his condition before God if God had made him like a robot. But you see, the fact is that we know we are sinners. There is no excuse in the eyes of God. No man can say that he doesn't know he's lost. Because the Bible said, you are unexcusable, O man. Every man is lost in the sight of God. There is none good, according to the Bible, no, not one. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus Christ. You see, God made a provision. This Pharisee did not recognize that. That was the downfall of the Pharisee. He did not recognize his lost condition. He thought because he went to church, because he gave of his tithes, because he did fast, that he was all right in the sight of God. But the publican knew how to meet God. He came to God with the fact, be merciful to me, a sinner, because I'm lost in the sight of God. You see, the mission of the church is not to get people saved. Did that bust your bubble? The mission of the church is not to get them saved, Jim. The mission of the church is to get them lost. We need to get men lost. We need men to realize they're lost in the eyes of God. I had a young boy one time, my youngest son. I'd done a very dumb thing. I took him hunting. We went squirrel hunting. And I got so wrapped up in squirrel hunting that my son said, "Daddy, I want to go home." And I said, "Okay, you just follow that hollow right down there, hit the main road, and you're going down to the house." And I went on squirrel hunting. Oh, did I do a stupid thing? Yes, I did. I admit it. But I got home. My son wasn't there. I said to Martha, I said, "Where is Rodney?" She said, "That's what I want to know. Where is Rodney?" I said, "Hasn't he come home?" She said, "No." She panicked. I panicked. My father-in-law panicked. My mother-in-law panicked. Everybody realized that Rodney is lost. And brother, I'll tell you, you're talking about a fear, is to realize you have a son out in those mountains lost. And, I mean, it's a fear that will nearly destroy your mind. We went up those hollers and down them roads hollering, "Rodney, Rodney, Rodney." We went over those ridges and up those hollers hollering, "Rodney, Rodney." There was no sweeter voice than when we heard Rodney say, "Yes, Dad, here I am." He was lost. You know, we don't ever push the panic button on being lost. People all around us are lost every day. People sit in our pews on Sunday morning and they're lost. You know, the biggest beating I take is when I preach like this. I mean, the devil reminds me every Sunday morning when I leave, "Hey, quit that hard preaching. Quit being the old fogey. Come on, loosen up. You're too tight. You're preaching too hard, preaching too strong." Honey, when people are lost, you cannot preach too strong. I believe they need to hear the message of salvation. They're lost without God. We need to point them to Calvary. We need to point them to Christ, the only forgiveness of their sin. If someone doesn't tell them they're lost, they'll never know it. This boy knew he was lost. He knew it because he cried and he prayed. He did not want to make deals with God. He simply said, "Lord God, be merciful to me, the sinner that I am, and save me for Christ's sake." He knew where he was. He was a long ways off from God. You know, it's sad when we're so far away from God. The Christian world today is too far away from God. The old songwriter said, "We're drifting too far from the shore. We are drifting into lethargy. We are drifting into liberalism. We are drifting in a condition that's only going to bring destruction to the church." Look at it today. This homosexual that they made a bishop of. And he even got up and boasted about it. And he said, "There's many in many churches." And he finished the statement by saying, "We're going to win." Hey, honey, listen, there is no win solution, no win situation. The Bible said the soul that sinned is going to die. Homosexualism is a sin. I believe God can forgive the homosexualism. But, honey, you cannot take what is wrong and make it right. You cannot take what is right and make it wrong. In the eyes of God, it's sin. I cannot condone it. I must condemn it. If God said it's a sin, then it is a sin. If God said, "I'm a sinner," I am a sinner. I cannot condone with the things of the world. We're standing too far away from where God wants us to be. Many people say, "Well, I'm living at the foot of the cross." Did you not know that's the best place to die and go to hell? Many people are fooled by living at the foot of the cross. You can live at the foot of the cross and die and go to hell. Many people stood at the foot of the cross when Jesus was crucified.
If I knew that it would be the last time that I'd ever see you fall asleep, I'd tuck you in more tightly. I'd pray the Lord your soul would keep. If I knew it would be the last time that I'd see you walk out the door, I would give you a big old hug and a kiss, and I'd call you back for more. If I knew it would be the last time I'd hear your voice lifted up in praise, I would video the tape each action and word so I could play them back each day. If I knew it would be the last time I could spare an extra minute, I'd stop and say I love you instead of assuming that you would just know that. If I knew it would be the last time I would be there to share your day, well, I'm sure you'll have so many more. So can I just for this one time let it slip? For surely there's always tomorrow to make up for our oversight. And we always get the second chance to make everything just right. There will always be another day, I say, I love you. And certainly there's another chance to say anything I can do. But just in case I might be wrong, and today is all I get, I'd like to say how much I love you. And I hope we never forget. Tomorrow is not just a promise to anyone, young or old alike. And today may be the last chance you get to hold your loved one tight. So if you're waiting for tomorrow, why not do it today? For if tomorrow never comes, you'll surely regret that you didn't do it today. That you didn't take that extra time for just a smile, a hug, or a kiss. Because you were too busy to grant someone what turned out to be their very last wish. So hold your loved ones each close, very close today, and whisper in their ear. Tell them how much you love them, and you'll always hold them dear. Take time to say, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you, or, oh, it's okay. And if tomorrow never comes, you'll never have regretted that you did that today.
Our Father, we're so thankful for the broadcast, and we're praying that someone, God, who has been ministered to this morning, who will turn their life to you before it's everlasting too late. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Well, neighbor, I appreciate you. I hope that you don't forget the broadcast. And put it on your prayer list and pray for me. I'm not getting any younger. I've been in this way for a long time, but it gets sweeter and sweeter every day. So you pray for me, and I'll be praying for you. And together we stand, but divided that we fall. You can write to me, Reverend Tommy Mounts, Post Office Box 2642. Madden Creek Road, Hinton, West Virginia, 25951. Again, that's Reverend Tommy Mounts, Box 2642, Madden Creek Road, Hinton, West Virginia, 25951. Goodbye, be good, and may God bless you and yours. That truly is my humble prayer.
Remember, God still loves you. And he holds you in his hand. He invites you, cast your cares upon him. He has borne your grief and sorrow. There's no reason to be down. No reason to believe you cannot win. Though you may not understand the storm you feel within your soul, reach out in faith, cast your care upon.